Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Good Thursday. Dan saw our next guest this morning. Great piece. Really different insight. Carlin Borisenko is someone who, well, at the top, the headline says, I've been a Democrat for 20 years. She has her own practice, Zen Workplace, to help create amazing work experiences. And chief science officer at Rallybright, helping leaders to cultivate more resilient teams. She attended, I guess, her first Trump rally. But she's a contributor to places like Forbes and others. And we saw this headline, I've been a Democrat for 20 years. Here's what I experienced at Trump's rally, the most recent one in New Hampshire. Carlin joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Carlin, good morning. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So where would you put yourself? What type of Democrat, first of all? Who would you identify with, if anybody? I mean, do you switch over the years? Are you a Clinton Democrat, a Bernie Democrat? Where would you be?
Yeah, so I'm right in the center. I've always been a pretty centrist in my views. I have some conservative views. I have some more liberal views. I did vote for Bernie in the 2016 primary because I couldn't stand Hillary, but kind of plugged my nose and voted for her in the general election. In this primary, I had to vote Democrat because I was still registered as a Democrat in New Hampshire. I ended up voting for Pete Buttigieg.
Ah, okay. All right, that's an interesting thing. So why go to a Trump rally then?
Honestly, it was sheer curiosity. I had been over the past several months really trying to break my echo chamber, and I had started listening to a lot of more conservative voices like Ben Shapiro and Dave Rubin, and just really trying to understand the perspective. And, you know, I had gone to, I'd seen every major Democratic candidate in New Hampshire. I'd been to all of their events, and Trump was coming, and I thought, well, why not just take a chance and go? What could possibly go wrong?
Now, we just had a big one in Wildwood, New Jersey. This even had more people there, I think, where you were in New Hampshire. What did you find? What are some of the takeaways from the rally atmosphere and the people there?
Well, I mean, the biggest takeaway for me first was that people on both sides of the political spectrum, when I told them I was going to this rally, they were genuinely fearful for my safety. And I thought that that was actually really interesting because they were fearful for different reasons. And when I got there, the people were so nice. I never feared for my safety, not even for one single minute. It was a jubilant environment. I've never been to a political rally that people were that excited to be there. They were just happy. It was like being at a rock concert. So it was really, I did not expect it to feel like that.
You write here too, these were not Russian bots. These weren't fake. These were real people. Moreover, it felt like a breath of fresh air. There was not universal agreement in this group. Some were Trump supporters, some weren't, but they talked and shared their perspective without shouting or rage or trying to cancel each other.
Yeah, and that's a reflection of the walkaway movement, or who have been many of the people that I've been talking to over the past several months. And, you know, on the left side of my friends and acquaintances that lean that way, it's just been rage and anger and shouting, and it's just exhausting. And I've had some of the most intellectually invigorating conversations about politics with people who are either right-leaning or have decided, like I have, to walk away from the Democratic Party. And it's just, it's so refreshing. It gives me hope for people again.
Why the walk away? Is there a particular issue for you, Carlin, or a particular moment? Is it what's being done to Bernie now? What is it that makes you walk away from the Democratic Party?
It's cancel culture, really. I think that, to be really frank, I think that a lot of the people on the left have kind of lost their minds. They blow everything out of proportion. Everything's an emergency. Everyone's a horrible human being. And it's just, they've gone too far. And even though I appreciate Bernie, I mean, I'm from Vermont. I grew up with Bernie Sanders. I have a deep appreciation for him. I think he's gone too far left. And I would be actually really afraid of what would happen if he did get elected, because the people that are running his campaign are the ones that are going to help him run the country. And I just don't think that that's a positive direction to move in.
The most hopeful thing from this is what you said that I share, this cancel culture thing. It is stunning to me. I saw on Twitter today, now she didn't say to cancel this, but it is apropos of that. Samantha Bee writing about Prager University and giving it credit that its graphics and the stuff they do is up to date and the people are really smart, and how dangerous this is. You know, it's kind of strange. Someone who's a provocateur, I mean, that's what she is, extraordinary. She's one of the top in the world. Not being able to, as you said, engage in this stuff. I see the hopeful sign, though. I see Dave Chappelle and a couple of others that Netflix stood by. They were pretty provocative a couple months ago, and the world didn't end, and Netflix didn't get killed over that. So maybe there are people like you and others now that are starting to say, you just can't throw people away over one remark or just because you differ with them.
I really agree. And honestly, the response to my article has been overwhelmingly positive, with so many people reaching out to me, sharing their similar stories, sharing that they wish their friends and family saw it this way, sharing that they don't always agree with Trump or necessarily think he's a nice guy, but that I think people are starting to look at this in a new way. And I think that Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes a couple months ago was also an indication of the tide is shifting back, hopefully, towards sanity.
Yes. So when you vote this time, then, does it depend on who the nominee of the Democrat Party is, how you'll go?
It really does. There are absolutely Democrats that I will not vote for under any circumstances.
Let me guess. Elizabeth Warren's got to be one of them, I would think.
Oh, she absolutely is. I think that she obviously lied about what Bernie Sanders said to her. As many problems as I have with Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren downright lying that Bernie told her a woman couldn't be president. I mean, come on. That's just stupid. Amy Klobuchar is another one I will not vote for. In what I do, I work with a lot of people who've been targeted by workplace bullies. Amy Klobuchar has a long history of treating her staff horribly.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's break that down. You're in the workplace.
Yeah.
You mean to say you don't think people should shave your legs if you're an important person while they're talking? Come on now, Carlin. You got to be kidding me. Come on.
I know. What am I possibly thinking, right?
Isn't it strange? You do this workplace stuff, okay, Zen Workplace. It's strange to me because Amy Klobuchar publicly has presented a persona that's different than that type of bully, which she obviously, I mean, I think these are reputable, eating the salad with a comb and everything else. What do you make of that? That publicly her persona, at least what she's either faking or she is more centrist and calmer than something that outrageous.
Well, actually, with a lot of people who are workplace bullies, there is actually data to show that they can be very charismatic. They know how to play the political game. And Amy Klobuchar knows what to say in these forums. She understands. So it doesn't actually surprise me at all that people are gravitating to her, because that's what we tend to see in these types of cases.
What would it take for you, after going through this now, to vote for President Trump? Is that not possible, or could you?
No, it's definitely possible. I like the economy. I remember the day after he was elected, my biggest worry was actually that he was going to tank the economy, and he hasn't. And I think that that's really good. I think that if he did something around sensible immigration reform, I'm married to an immigrant. I want to see, you know, the people that are under DACA taken care of, and I want to see more sensible reforms in place. If he did that, he might get me.
I also want to tell people about a companion article you wrote, The Dark Side of Me Too, What Happens When Men Are Falsely Accused. And you're someone who says, as a young professional, I was raped by a coworker, no one believed me. So is it, you think, the Me Too movement, like almost every movement, does some good, and then it gets to a point pretty quickly where it goes overboard? Is that the gist of it?
I think so. I was very much in favor of the Me Too movement when it first started. I'm ashamed of some of the tweets I sent out around that time period now. But I think it's just gone too far. And I think that it is a net positive. I believe it has created an environment where more people can come forward when these things happen. But the presumption of guilt is not something that's healthy. And I don't believe that it's going to have, you know, men are now really questioning whether or not they should mentor women, whether or not that women should be promoted because they're scared to be in the same room with them behind closed doors. Now, most of the time, those fears are going to be unfounded, but they are very real fears that exist for a reason. And I think that more balance needs to be brought back to that conversation.
Harlan, where do people find you? Because we love having you on. Dan's got a great eye for stuff like this. We'd love to continue to talk with you throughout these months of the campaign. Where do they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Dr. Carlin B, and they can connect with me on my website, zenworkplace.com.
Great stuff, Carlin. Thank you. Have a very good Valentine's Day, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.